Today on the podcast, I am talking about Hashimoto's, autoimmunity, gut healing, and nutrition without super strict restrictive diets with Allison Morris. She shares her own incredible story and how healing the nervous system is a key to thriving, whether you are simply wanting to feel better, trying to conceive, pregnant, postpartum, or rocking the mom life. I love Allison's approach and perspective, and I think you will too. Let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? That's why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight from Redmond, the real salt people, a USA-made electrolyte powder made with unrefined sea salt and 60-plus trace minerals, plus bioavailable potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium. And yep, they taste amazing. I'm a lemon-lime girl, but Dr. Morgan's all about that strawberry lemonade. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Stay hydrated, ladies. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing Allison Morris, a mom of two babes, holistic nutritionist, published author of the Paleo Gut Healing Cookbook, a gut healing expert specializing in autoimmune disease and food sensitivities. After putting her own Hashimoto's, PCOS, and IBS into remission, she made it her mission to help other women heal chronic digestive and hormonal symptoms without restrictive elimination, diets, or stress. As the creator of the InTune method, she's guided hundreds of clients to confidently heal at a root cause level while finding balance and joy with food again. With over a decade in the wellness space, Allison is passionate about simplifying gut healing and nourishing our bodies with more joy and peace. Check out her delish free recipes on foodbymars.com. Amazing. Allison, thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait to talk to you and interview you all about Hashimoto's and autoimmunity and gut health and all the things that you're an expert in. So thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Before we get started, can you kind of just share a little bit about your story and your background and why you're here and why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I would love to. First of all, I just love that motherhood is going to be in this discussion because when I really think about it, one of the biggest things that really started my journey, which is like a decade long at this point, was I got married. And so I wanted to get off the birth control pill and say, let's see what happens. And when I got off the birth control pill, that was my trigger for Hashimoto's. So I was on the birth control pill for a decade because that was the only option for me. I turned 18. I was dealing with a lifetime of really heavy, painful periods. Dysmenorrhea was what the diagnosis was. And they had nothing else for me. You know, I was on like this high dose of naproxen, like 1,000 milligrams that I would take. And I was just drugged up and still in so much pain and would have to miss school 2 days out of every month. And so by the time I turned 18 and I was going to college, I was like, I can't live this. I can't function this way anymore. Yeah. So I went on the pill, stayed on it for 10 years, got married and got off. And then everything changed. I felt like almost overnight, my body was betraying me. My hair was falling out in globs. I lost about 75% of it within like 2 to 3 years of that happening. My periods returned horrendous as ever. Like just, they told me it was going to resolve the issue and no, it was just a big fat Band-Aid. Food sensitivities, gut issues started popping up and plenty of it, I think I had normalized for a long time, but it was getting so bad that I just couldn't ignore anything anymore. So that's really what started me off on this. I was going to some of the best endocrinologists and OBGYNs and all the doctors in New York City that I could go to. And I was just being bounced around like a hot potato. Nobody knew what to do. They were like, oh, why don't you just get back on the pill? You know, right. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't need to be a practitioner to see the connection here. And I wasn't at the time. I was doing a whole different thing. So that was the catalyst. That was like, okay, no one's coming to save me. I've got to figure this out. I'd always been into nutrition and working out and eating well and taking care of my body because I'd been around a lot of autoimmune disease and cancer my whole life and my family. And I just always cared about that. So I was like, okay, I think this is the sign. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to become a nutritionist. I'm going to figure it out for me. And then I'm going to figure it out for everybody else. No woman should have to go through this. And through that came my diagnosis. I went to a naturopath because Western medicine was not testing my thyroid appropriately at all. They were boxing. They were like, oh, but you're not fat. So literally, right. So many people were like, you're not fat. So it's not your thyroid. I'm like, all my hair is falling out and I'm 27. How right. do you know anything about my weight? You've never met yeah. me before.
Right. I know.
It was just nuts. So a naturopath, thankfully, tested me appropriately.
Yay.
I know. Thank God for you guys. And then, you know, I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. I at first was just like, oh my God, finally an answer. I had known about Hashimoto's, learning about it. And I was like, okay, I've got, you know, some stuff now, and SIBO and parasites and all, you know, I kind of started digging into this world and getting acclimated with it and trying elimination diets and doing all these things. And yeah, that is where it all went. I finally figured stuff out for myself. I got into remission. Two healthy babies. It all worked out. And I'm thankful for the experience because it changed my life completely. That is the rigmarole.
Oh, what a beautiful story. I feel like so many of the best practitioners are those that have their own healing journey. And it's not that you have to have, you know, gone through cancer to help people with cancer kind of thing, but I just think there's a different level of understanding when you've been there, you get it, you've lived those experiences, and you've also troubleshooted a lot of what to do, because I see this sometimes in the world. It's like, oh, well, just, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that, take these like 10,000 supplements. You know, it's like, what is it like to actually live that life, to actually be that person doing that? And it's so easy. You know, I think about this when I go to medical conferences and they're talking about all the different things, and this is what you have to do, and this is what the literature says, and blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, but these are real people, especially moms. It's like, okay, but what is actually practical? And this is something that you can only get being a person or working with people, to be like, that's completely not practical. No one can do that.
You
know, but then how do we find this happy medium between knowing what we need to do, knowing what is going to help us, and also not killing ourselves trying to do it? So can you speak a little bit about your philosophy? Because I know you mentioned that you help people heal, but without like crazy strict, you know, diets or all of these things. And can you just tell us about your philosophy about all of it?
Absolutely. So you just nailed it, because there's some great research and researchers out there, but the magic really happens when you are practicing. So as practitioners, we know like, yeah, I know this, but I'm not going to ask her to do that. Like with her lifestyle, like that's going to, you know, overwhelm or create a lot of stress. It's not going to get done. And so it's actually not useful.
Yeah.
So there is that bridge that needs to be crossed with people that I really started to realize. So I love that. So yeah, you know, with my whole ethos, it's firstly seeing it in my body. It's being someone that loves food. You know, I started out as food blogger, healthy food blogger, paleo, AIP. I have a cookbook. I went so deep into the food and the food is medicine piece of this. And that absolutely has a place. But like I always like to say, it is one sliver of the whole pie. And what I'll see a lot, and I absolutely was there, is that we will overcorrect with diet. We are expecting, for example, AIP, the autoimmune protocol, or low FODMAP for SIBO, or whatever, to just completely overhaul and heal our whole life.
Yeah.
And that's not possible. And oh, am I so happy that that's not possible, because who wants to eat like that forever? Yeah. It's unreasonable. I'm all about, let's crowd in with whole foods, nutrient density. Let's eat the organ meats. Let's, you know, eat seasonally, right? Like let's do all these great things. And I love paleo-ish, as I call it, as a template, but we got to branch out. We see nutrient deficiencies with people that are paleo and AIP too long, right? Not enough calcium. We're not eating any dairy. You know, we're missing out on some really good fiber. I'll tend to see people get really constipated when they are paleo or AIP too long, because they're just not getting enough fiber differentiation, right? It's just like sweet potato over and over and over again. Like how much can we do that? So this is where I think number one, bioindividuality is always the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so unique. There's not one thing, one diet, one way of life for everyone. And it's really what I call my Intune method, which is basically my coaching program. But it is the ability for us to get in tune with our body of like, okay, if I have this symptom, where is this stemming from? And what can I do holistically, not just with diet, but holistically to support it reasonably? So I love expanding people's diets and supporting nervous system regulation, because that's the first step of digestion. It's like you have to be in the parasympathetic state before the food even touches your lips. And so when you really realize this, it's game changing. And it does open up your world a lot more. You're not freaked out about every diet that comes out or, you know, whatever. If you're scrolling social media and they're like, don't eat this and, you know, go on this new diet. It's just nuts. I think in my email, something today just came about like the new honey diet. And I'm like, what? I don't even want to read that. Like, please, no. Like, just don't tell me people are just downing honey all day.
I know.
Like, this is wild stuff, right? So. Yes. That's where it's like just feeling confident enough to tune into your body and nourish it in a way that feels good. And I know we'll talk a lot about some tips for that today. That is really my ethos. I don't love to keep subtracting.
I love that.
I like to start adding. Yeah.
I love that so much. So let's back up for our listeners, because not everyone might know the connection between, you had mentioned the gut a couple of times, you mentioned the nervous system. Can you speak a little bit about autoimmunity, what it is, and why we are talking about the gut and the nervous system in that conversation? Because I think even in the conventional medical model, that's not a part of the conversation as much as it should be. So can you just kind of break that down for people who maybe don't even know that, oh, maybe I have these symptoms like you're describing, or maybe I've just been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, and why it's important to look at the gut and the nervous system, like you said?
Yes, I love that. So with autoimmune disease, it's essentially like this hypervigilant immune system state, right? Where we're seeing, I don't want to say that the immune system is attacking us, because I don't believe that. And I know there's been a lot of research to say, well, let's poke some holes in that. Mm-hmm. But I think in the old paradigm, or even in the Western medicine paradigm, people are still very much told like, oh, your immune system is attacking your body, your tissue, your glands, whatever. No, I don't subscribe to that. I don't live in a body that's attacking itself.
Yeah.
I just like to say your immune system is overacting, overacting up, being hypervigilant for some reason, some good reason. Your body is smart. We need to just figure out why it's acting that way. And we know there's a lot of reasons and a lot of contributors in causation, but what's happening is something's getting hit in that hypervigilance, in that attack, something's getting hit. For me, having Hashimoto's, it was my thyroid. And so I just know the signs and symptoms for that. The hair loss, being really, I was always so cold, no, very poor circulation. Like my hands fingers would be blue since I was a kid. Like just nobody knew why. Running under hot water, they would tell me, like, I don't know why. So I was just always kind of having these very hypothyroidism type situation. So there's often a lot of joint pain, inflammation with autoimmune disease. It could be things like different types of arthritis, celiac disease, lots of different things. Psoriasis we see a lot of, other skin issues that we'll see too. So there's a lot of different autoimmune disease, Crohn's, colitis. They're going to keep popping up in my head. Mm-hmm. A lot of different autoimmune conditions that we will see. And while they sound all different and they might have some differing symptoms, there's often a lot in common, and it's all stemming from that same thing of why is my immune system overacting and why are things getting hit? We know to get the most bang for your buck with immune system and autoimmunity is to look at your gut, because about 70 to 80% of your immune system is located in the gut. So like Hippocrates said, all disease begins in gut. That's exactly one of the biggest reasons why. So I became so fascinated by saying, all right, like, let's work smarter, not harder here. Let's optimize your gut. And it is a very long process. Like I said, beginning in the brain, because we do need to be in the parasympathetic to then set off all the other little mechanisms. It's like a factory. If you think of I Love Lucy with the chocolates on the factory, we're just like this domino effect. And so much support that we can actually bring to the gut actually really does begin with the nervous system of just saying, I'm eating in a calm, present state. I'm managing resilience in my nervous system where I can deal with the stress and I can deal with, you know, the stress management. And so we're just like oscillating between the two with more ease. And so that can really help with our gut, because so much of healing and digestion happens in the parasympathetic, or what's also known as rest and digest. And that's the opposite of fight, flight, freeze, which I'm sure most people have heard about. So the more we can strengthen this muscle, so to speak, the more we can, you know, support that gut-brain connection, vagus nerve, all these incredible things you might hear about in this field. Really, that is the play. That everything else starts to make sense. The diet begins to open up more. Food sensitivities aren't so much of an issue. Your immune system is not being so hypervigilant. You're absorbing your nutrients. Everything is starting to click now. So that's what we want to really see with that.
I love that. So when you work with clients, do you typically start with nervous system stuff? Are you looking at the gut first? Are you doing testing first? Are you looking at the diet? Like, walk me through. Actually, let's just play pretend. Yeah. There's a woman who comes to you. She's trying to get pregnant. She's had a miscarriage. And labs come back. She has Hashimoto's, a positive ANA, which is another marker of autoimmunity, very stressed out and wants to get pregnant, obviously. Like, what would that look like in your world? Like, where would you start? And then maybe sharing some practical tips too from the nervous system perspective, because I think people hear like stress is a thing, but like, what do you actually do about it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I love this. So what we would want to do is not start with labs just yet. She just had some labs. She knows there's antibodies. She knows there's some other mystery autoimmune stuff possibly going on. She knows she's miscarrying. The thyroid is needing some love. So what we would start with is a functional symptom analysis. We want to really zoom out and optimize the body systems, because something that we do as humans is this like top down, like, I'm smarter than you body, mm-hmm. and I'm going to over engineer everything. And there's a supplement for everything and all this. And I'm just not about that. If we actually bring your body systems back online to do the thing your body wants to heal, it is a self-healing organism. Again, you're going to hear me keep saying smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Like, let's just start with that. That is super powerful alone. So that's what we like to do. And so we're looking at all the body systems. We're looking at all the intricate pieces of digestion. And this is through a thorough symptom analysis that takes my clients like 30 minutes to fill out. Mm-hmm. And we present this big graph and we just show them, oh, these are three main areas, babe. Like, if we start optimizing this, the body does the rest. Mm-hmm. Even though there's so much, you know, sometimes we feel so inundated by the symptoms and I'm told this and I'm hearing that. We need to boil it down to that foundational piece so your body can do the rest. So that's one. And the way that we would support your body to sort of like optimize and come online, nutrition number one. And like I said, we really want to be more expansive than contractive. We want to, of course, focus on whole foods. Yeah, we don't want to be eating garbage. We don't want to be eating refined sugar, of course. But we want to make sure it makes sense. I'm not someone that's like, never have caffeine or never, you know, no. Like, let's see what's really supportive to you. So we start with that. I give people meal plans, rest. Like I told you, I love food.
Yes.
I like to make it fun. I like to make it doable. And especially for moms, it's like, we don't want to be short order cooks. We don't want to be like, I make one meal for me. I make three meals for these people. No, mm-hmm. It's enough if you have picky kids and all.
I know. It's so hard.
No. So I love to just like make base meals for the whole family. And if they want their bread or they want their pasta or what, you know, whatever, let them add it in. So we start there. And then second, of course, if there's some really good supplements that can help, we want to look at that. And then the lifestyle tweaks, nervous system is number one. I get that started right away, because even to your point, a woman finding out, oh my God, I have Hashimoto's and I have this and I have this and I have this and I'm having these miscarriages. Her nervous system has got to be a little fried, a little frazzled. Yeah. We're not scared of stress here, right? We're, you know, in the sympathetic nervous system right now. You know, that's mm-hmm. okay. That's what we're doing to get up and go do life. It's not bad, but it's bad when we're stuck there.
Yeah.
And it's right. And we can't move in and out with more ease, and that our body's constantly thinking we're under attack. So why would it ever prioritize healing?
Yeah.
We're not going to live past tomorrow. You know, it's worrying about survival. So that is something we look at right away. And when I say nervous system, it can be as simple as, you know, I'm going to share it with you for your listeners. I call it this 333
yep.
method that I like to do. And it's literally, can we designate maybe every time you fill your water bottle or go to the bathroom or whatever times of day, I like habit stacking. I like to just assign something and say, every time I go do that thing, I'm going to do this 333 method. And it's three deep diaphragmatic breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. And then, yes,
Do it now, all of us together.
Let's do it now with us, okay? So we're going to do an inhale and exhale. And exhale, right? And it's just grounding you. It's just bringing you back into the present moment because we are so cerebral. We've got Zoom meetings and phone pings and doom scrolling and whatever else, right? Such a busy life. And so we just want to get back into the body. Then name three things in the room. I got a money tree in front of me. I got you. I got my water bottle, right? It's just get me back in the room.
Yeah, I love right? that.
And then three body movements. And so jumping jacks, I love all these nervous system accounts, but it doesn't have to be anything fancy, guys. It doesn't have to be something you need to memorize or go research. Just move your body, be in your body. If you want to dance, you know, if you want to say, hey, this would be a great time for me to go for a walk, just do something like that. And that's it. Get back to your day. Keep going. Just the more we can get back in our body, the more healing, the more mindfulness, all that good stuff that I think comes into it. So that's kind of our roadmap, right? We kind of curate what are these heavy hitters for a person, get them going on that, get it feeling good. And now we're changing the terrain of the gut. Because what I'll see oftentimes is like, oh, we're eradicating SIBO or H. pylori or any of these gut infections or parasite cleanses, but you never change the terrain. You never change that person's day-to-day of like I just posted on social media of what made it a 5-star hotel for those bugs to exist.
Yeah.
Right? These bugs have nothing else better to do. We are hosts. They are coming in. And they are staying. Like they want to live. A round of antibiotics or antimicrobial, like that ain't going to do it. Maybe initially you'll feel okay, but coming from someone I had SIBO 3 times back to back in a year. No, until I learned how to eat mindfully, how to really rewire my nervous system, how to look at those behaviors, right? That type A perfectionistic kind of attitude that I had. Then SIBO went away. Then these things started opening up. Things started getting better. So we want to change the terrain. Then I'll do a GI map. Then let's look at some labs. Then let's dig deeper. It becomes so much easier and the protocols work. And you don't have to do them 50 times. And the person's already adopted the behaviors, the habits, the things you want them already doing. I find that when we do it all at once or that those things become side notes, I don't find that the results that, you know, any of it really goes the distance. So I like to get the long game in play first, basically.
I love that. That's so great. Yeah, I think the practical tips, it's just so obvious coming from a person who works with people. I know in my experience too, it's like you have to actually do the practical things that a person is doing in a day-to-day basis versus like, this is this crazy protocol that, you know, someone talked about in some article or whatever. And I love that because it's what people need to walk away from this from and be like, okay, I can do that. I love your 333 thing. Mm-hmm. How long do you do that kind of terrain work before you say, okay, now let's look at, you know, a stool test, or are you working on food changes? Like, do you ever pull certain foods? Do you find people have true food intolerances, or is it any reaction to food is sort of an imbalance somewhere?
Agree. The latter, what you said. So I think any reaction, of course, if it's a whole food, you know, if it's some garbage, it's like, well, it's some garbage, or, oh, I can't drink wine.
Red dye. It's not like I'm allergic to red dye.
I know, like, you know how that's on the MRT food sensitive test. I'm like, well, I don't want you to eat that anyway, just because it came up green. Like, we don't want to eat that. So for me, it's like, and it's changed over the years where I used to run food sensitivity tests and GI maps as step one, because that's what I was, you know, kind of trained to do of like, no, test, don't guess. And then it's like, there's a lot of educated guessing you can do in the beginning that everyone's going to benefit from.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's like, so to answer your question, I like to do about 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks of at least getting those really good habits in place. If someone's eating gluten, if someone's eating or drinking alcohol, you know, just like kind of, we need to clean things up. Things have snuck in or whatever. I work with really health conscious women. So usually it's like, yeah, that snuck in again, or yeah, I've been kind of like F it lately, or, you know, whatever. I'm not like necessarily dealing with someone who's like, I'm trying to get off McDonald's, which I'm sure you know, you can relate to.
Yeah.
So it's not like pulling teeth, but it's optimizing. It's usually things like, you know, blood sugar imbalances, not eating enough, just optimizing things in certain places and having some more nutrient density for sure. We get more creatures of habit, right? The same five things or something, you know, like
yeah.
You need to rotate. So I like to get that going immediately. But of course, if a person is like a lot of joint pain and they're eating tomatoes and peppers every day, I'm going to be like, you know, let's just hold that out. We need to go full blown elimination diet or AIP, but like, I'm looking at your food journal. I'm seeing the correlations. Let's just hold that back. Here's some really yummy recipes in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like shiny object, like focus on this because, you know, it's just our nature to look at like, oh my God, I can't eat this, 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 this. Mm-hmm. And to get frozen and frustrated in that and feel like I can't travel. I can't dine out. I can't do it.
No. Yeah.
Let's focus on what you can eat a lot of.
Yeah.
And play there. So yes, it's so bio-individual and we'll look at stuff like that. And then, so after those 6 weeks, it's like, okay, let's do a GI map stool test. I love it. It's testing for immune response stuff, but then also if there's parasites, candida, H. pylori, bacterial overgrowth, which I feel like I just see with everybody, there's some kind of bacterial imbalance. And so we can do a lot here to be able to pull the right levers. And now it's so much easier. And then you've also developed this great relationship as a practitioner and client. There's a trust built. There's, oh, I am seeing results. Oh, it can be as simple as 1, 2, 3 tweaks in a day and I get farther. And now when I ask you to take all these supplements,
I know.
This is kind of the way it is with the GI map. It's like, oh, okay, Allison, I trust you. I'm going to do it. But I feel like if I do that and when I've in the past done it on day one, it's like, whoa, what?
Super overwhelming.
Yeah, it's overwhelming for anyone. I've been there too where I took a garbage can once and I just took all the supplements and I'm like, forget this. I can't do it anymore. It's just, even for the perfectionist in me that I'll try to do it to a T, when you don't feel well and you don't feel like you're getting results,
it
gets old.
I love that. Oh my gosh, so good. So talk to me. I want to talk about more gut stuff too, but tell me about gluten and dairy because I know at least in our world as naturopathic doctors, we were trained and I do see in practice, but you know, maybe there's a missing link that I'm missing with people too, where it feels like certain things like gluten and or conventional dairy seem to really flare people with autoimmune conditions. Tell me about that. Like, are we missing the mark? Is there something different or is it the type or quality of the gluten or dairy? Or can you just tell me about that? Because it's the first thing that often people are told when they get diagnosed with Hashimoto's is stop eating gluten and or dairy.
Yeah, it's definitely an and statement and definitely a bio-individuality piece. I say that word so much, you think it'd be
unreal. It's a hard one.
But yeah, so I think especially with Hashimoto's, because of the thyroid, the like molecular mimicry is what they call it. And that's just basically meaning, okay, if your immune system is hitting by accident, the thyroid, there's this molecular mimicry with gluten that it looks a lot like the thyroid protein. And so you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck, especially with the TPO antibodies, as you know, because I'm sure you make this recommendation all the time, go gluten-free. You're just going to feel so much better. It is so easy to be gluten-free nowadays than it was even a decade ago. And there's so many good replacements. So I love finding those replacements. I love making it a lot easier for clients so that they can be compliant. And then there's also the skincare. Like I had to overhaul my skincare. That was a sneaky place that I was.
So you did pull out gluten.
I did. I pulled it out because it was bothering me. So, you know, I would see little things where it's like every time I got a little bit better, my TPO would just keep going down. So that was a thing, right? There's been direct studies that will help with TPO. So for gluten, yes. I used to also, like no dairy. It's so inflammatory. I eat cheese every single day now. I don't even get a zit.
Oh my
and
gosh.
What's so, now it's not like Kraft singles cheese, right? It's like really
cheese whiz.
It's like good quality. It's like Greek feta cheese, you know, it's like sheep and goat's milk. I can do some A2 like cow dairy. I'm talking like the poison is in the dose, guys. And again, it is bio-individual. But if I were getting like hormonal issues or cramps or period, you know, like kind of period, weird period stuff or zits or anything like that, that would be like a first indicator for me with the dairy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little bit different. If it's a digestive reaction, if it's skin breakouts, whatever it is, or inflammation, you know, like pain, that's your answer. Not right now. Mm-hmm. Not right now, or maybe not at that dose, or maybe not that kind of quality.
Gotcha.
That's my answer for that. Because what I will say is, especially pregnancy was a good teacher of this for me. I was craving dairy so much mm-hmm. in my first pregnancy. That's how I knew, that's how, part of the reason I knew I was pregnant. I was like, why am I craving dairy? I haven't had it in years.
Yeah.
And I just needed that calcium. That bioavailable calcium is like, it's so good in the dairy. So I think that the more resilient our gut is, the more we're patching up those holes in the intestines, mm-hmm. right? With leaky gut, hyper intestinal permeability. I think we can get so much more back and that we can handle a lot more.
Yeah.
And we can go for good quality dairy. That's, I literally have a client right now. She's an MD, a lot of immune system issue, like a lot of autoimmune issues, mm-hmm. a lot of things. Dairy was one of the first things we actually got back for her. Aww. Which is what she's like, I cannot believe this. She's like, I'm so freaking happy.
That's amazing.
And it's so exciting. Yeah. And she's like, and she's going out of her way to get like good stuff and go to farmers market. And that's beautiful. But she's so happy. Like even just that happiness factor is so important.
Yes.
Right? Like we want people feeling better. We want people feeling happy around food. And so everyone's just so unique with that. But I would say at least at a bare minimum, gluten-free, you're going to mm-hmm. feel a lot better. It's usually worth it. Have I seen people reintroduce it? Yes, I have. Usually it is a very good quality, like organic sourdough. I've even, by me, there's this farmer's market. They do a sourdough and they get the wheat from Europe that they do it with.
Europe does it different. I know.
Exactly. No glyphosate and, you know, it's lower gluten. So again, it becomes this quality thing. I had a celiac client go to Paris, eat a real croissant, and she was fine. She's like, okay, I figured out. I just have to move to Paris. I'm like, there you go.
I know. I mean, I'm sensitive to gluten and dairy, and I would love to not be, and I can eat it in Europe. And it's, this is an interesting thing too, which I want to back up and talk about fertility some, but I know for me, when I was pregnant, I also craved dairy. And yet, I mean, I ended up having a C-section, which is like not what I wanted, and you know, all sorts of stuff. My gut is not in a good place right now. I'm actually about to start my own new gut healing journey. But as soon as I was not pregnant anymore, I started reacting to the dairy again. So, you know, that's like a whole thing. So let's back up and we'll talk about fertility, and then we'll talk about maybe pregnancy and postpartum and just some of the tips that you have for women out there. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. There are so many factors that impact egg quality. Stress, toxins, and energy issues are just a few. Stress and toxins increase oxidative damage that negatively impact your eggs, and eggs need adequate mitochondrial energy to mature properly. It's so important to support your eggs no matter where you are along your fertility journey. I personally love Needed's egg support product to do just that. I helped design this formula, so I obviously love it, but even if I hadn't, it would be the one I would recommend to my patients and clients. This formula is an antioxidant and mitochondrial powerhouse that supports oxidative damage and the energy powerhouses, mitochondria. It has key ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, PQQ, and ALA. I love pairing it with Needed's prenatal to get your essential nutrients, as well as their CoQ10 for an antioxidant boost. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, now back to the show. So for someone who's trying to conceive, I know for you, it doesn't sound like fertility was maybe a part of your struggle or not, but have you worked with clients that have autoimmunity, either undiagnosed or known, that struggle to get pregnant, and then they kind of do these protocols with you and get pregnant? Can you speak about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And I will say it was an issue for me because my period was so sporadic. I had PCOS.
Yeah.
You know, they suspected endometriosis possibly too because of that pain, but I just never did the laparoscopy.
Right.
And so it was an issue. And then I was just freaked out and scared because I'm like, wow, between the PCOS and the Hashimoto's, like, am I going to get pregnant? I didn't know when I was ovulating. I didn't know. I couldn't track it. So it was hard for me in that respect, but I never had a miscarriage. Like, I didn't struggle the way so many, I'm sure, of your listeners and women out there I know struggle. So it's not the same. But what I would say is yes. So when we're healing the gut, what we're also looking at is healing detoxification. We're looking at liver support. We're looking at all these things that's going to help with hormone balance and nutrient absorption and all these key things. So that's going to be huge. In terms of fertility and tips like that, so that's one of the biggest things is, like, I'll see people that were either not eating enough or not absorbing the nutrients, and that's so huge. I'll see people overworking out, just like over-exercising. So we're constantly burning out the adrenals and the thyroid, and then that's problematic. And then we'll see people that are just going completely undiagnosed for thyroid issues.
Yeah.
And that's really, really sucky because it breaks – so many times we've caught it where I'm like, it's your thyroid?
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll get that tested, and their mind is blown that, like, they weren't tested for that. And they're like, that's why I had 3 miscarriages. And it's like,
I know. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
It blows my mind. It's so simple. It's so simple to test.
So simple.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Thank you for that. And yeah, for anyone listening, just know that the thyroid does play a huge role in getting pregnant and staying pregnant. And autoimmunity also can cause inflammation and all of these different things that can also prevent getting pregnant. So if you're trying to get pregnant, know that this kind of work is really important, especially before. This is why I'm so passionate about getting to women before they want to have kids. But a lot of times that's not when people come to us, right? They're like in the middle of that world and want it yesterday. And it does take time. And that is probably the hardest thing I have that experience with. I don't know how much you work with clients who are trying to get pregnant, but it's hard to tell people that we have to pause and put a break on things.
It is. I'm so with you. We do have it a lot. It's not like our specialty, but absolutely we have it quite a bit. I actually had a conversation with one of our clients right now. She's got a couple of autoimmune issues going on, not necessarily Hashimoto's, but she's got some thyroid stuff. She's got a little bit. And here's what I would say too, is like, so she wants her second kid. Mm-hmm. She had a first kid, but she's had some miscarriages leading up to her second. And so she's got this perfectionistic to-do list going. Is it mold? Is it this? Is it that? You know, let's go down the list. Now, this is very valuable in the sense of, okay, yeah, let's figure this out. But at the same time, it comes back to that nervous system piece of, like, if you don't feel safe in your home, you don't feel safe in your body, we have a big problem. Because safety is also a number one prerequisite to getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Your body is very smart. If it's not safe to bring a child into the world, why would it? That was a big problem for me. I was really scared of what was going on with me. That's why I say, like, I don't live in a body that attacks itself.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because your thoughts are powerful.
So powerful. So I'm with you where so many times I'll make sure that the client, I'm like, are you okay with taking about a 6-month pause while we really look through everything? And they, as long as they are, it's like, okay, great. It's not because we're going for perfection in the next 6 months, but we want to optimize. And this can be such an incredible ripple effect. You're going to pass this down to your kids when you have them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to teach them and you're going to figure it out before you're a zombie, you know, when the baby comes. And yes. How great is that? So I try to focus on these gifts of why we were given this beforehand. Yeah, that's my little aside on that. And then I do also want to say for autoimmunity, you just said it with your dairy situation. So our immune system is suppressed in pregnancy. So a lot of food sensitivities disappear.
I know, it's really fun.
Isn't it? Why? It's so fun. People go into remission with autoimmune. Now, some people don't. It's not everybody. Or unfortunately, some people, they get triggered by a pregnancy, especially with Hashimoto's. We'll see that like post-pregnancy too. We've seen that a lot. It's different for everybody, but for me, certainly it was like, oh, whew, I could do anything I want probably, you know, like, and I'm fine. So there is that aspect too of like, yeah, let's get healthy. But progress over perfection. There is no like, oh, the gates of heaven open up. This is the perfect time to get pregnant. Just feel it enough, feel safe enough, feel like you've ticked enough boxes off and you're feeling better that you want to try for it and that you feel safe in your body.
I love that. So what are your top recommendations for a woman either in fertility or pregnant or as a mom who, you know, is listening to this to have a healthy pregnancy?
Yeah. I think it really does start with that safety piece and that trust with your body. Because when we're dealing with chronic illness, autoimmunity, I think that is tested
yeah.
a lot. Or with the fertility struggles.
Yeah.
A lot of us will start to have this narrative of like, my body's broken. My body can't do anything without a supplement or an injection or like what it's like, I need to top down, do everything. I came to this humbleness. Well, maybe that's not the word, but you know what I mean? Like just this humility.
There you go.
Yeah. Humility.
Perfect. Yep.
Respect, awe for my body. When I got pregnant the first time, that I'm like, oh crap, you do know what to do.
Yeah.
You can do this. Mm-hmm. And my work now is to let you. So that's a little bit of the I kind of always have to start with the mindset and the nervous system, because I really think that informs how so much will go. Then yeah. absolutely, let's eat well, right? Like let's stay hydrated. Let's get clean water. Let's mm-hmm. go out and move our bodies. Like let's be in our body. Let's do the nervous system regulation. And then let your body do the rest, what it was designed to do. That's the yeah. thing that we forget, I think. So to me, that's everything. Even like in the first pregnancy, I was really nervous. I was like, what if I miscarry? What if I, you know, I was just very, very nervous. And that was my work to manage that.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had signed up for yoga teacher training.
Oh,
before nice. I knew I got pregnant. And I was good. Locked in, deposit in. The teachers were like, we're both moms. You can do this. You're not getting out of this. I'm like, shit. And I went and I had the worst morning sickness for the whole time. And I just sit there meditating for an hour in silence and every day.
That's crazy.
Well, I was just nauseous. It felt terrible. And it just taught me to,
yeah.
right? Be in the body. Trust. Yeah, okay. Discomfort doesn't mean that that's bad. You know, yep. just like all these life lessons I think I needed handed to me. So I start with that because everything else gets easier. The decisions yeah. get easier. How you take care of yourself gets easier. Let your body just do the thing it was designed
yeah.
to.
I love that. That's so great. So moving on for a woman postpartum and beyond.
Yeah.
A lot of women struggle with energy and gut issues, especially if you're someone like me. I'm just thinking because I had to take a bunch of antibiotics, you know, with my delivery. And I think it, you know, flared other things that were already imbalanced maybe before. Who knows? If you have autoimmunity, whether you had it before pregnancy or maybe pregnancy has flared it, how can we care for ourselves while we're also now caring for our babies? Because I think as women, I see this a lot where they kind of put their health on the back burner. And I've experienced it myself, you know, everyone else comes first. But it's so important, you know, when you don't have kids, and not that it's like you have crazy amounts of time when you don't have kids, but looking back now that I have kids, I'm like, wow, how did I ever think that I was busy? You know, it's just so different.
We're once tired. You have- when someone that's not a parent tells me they're tired, I'm like, that's adorable.
Like, can't you just go to sleep?
Yeah, you could go to sleep right now and no one would stop you.
I know. So it's just a different experience. So what do you say to moms that, you know, either they're newly postpartum or maybe have young kids? Like, what do you do?
There's so many things. You know, lack of sleep is no joke.
I know.
To an average healthy person. And then if you've got autoimmunity and gut issues and, you know, you've already got these pre-existing things. I remember being fearful the first time of like, oh my God, I'm going to have a huge flare. How am I going to function? I need my 9 hours of sleep.
Yeah, same.
You know?
It's the hardest part.
My kids don't sleep, girl. Mm-hmm. I have two kids that they don't. No. Like, I'm not the one that's like, oh yeah, I put them down in their crib and they stay. Nope. That is not the cards that I was dealt. I co-sleep. I make it as easy as freaking possible. My youngest is 2. I'm still nursing him. I co-sleep mm-hmm. with him. I make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
I don't allow preconceived judgments, judgments other people might have about how I should put them to sleep or how I should. I say if everyone's getting sleep, that is a pinnacle to mama's health
yep.
and everybody's health. And that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
So my first and then my second, very different. I was in my perfectionism. I was in, I was in the shoulds in the first yep. one. I'm sure all of us go through this, right? Where we think it's some certain way. And then by the second, I'm like, whatever, I'm going to try. I'll try getting him in the crib. If it doesn't work, oh, well,
yeah,
that crib away. Nobody used it ever. Like,
yeah.
So that's one thing I would say is like, please, whether it's your first or second or third, I don't care. Like, please understand that the health of the mom and the wasn't that study that came out, not just the health of the mom, but the happiness of the mom.
Yeah. They're the nervous system of the household.
Yes. And is a direct correlation to the health and happiness of the child. So if that's what we're saying, that's our priority. And so that's why we shove ourselves aside. It's ass backwards.
Yeah.
We have to say, I pour into myself so that I overflow to everybody else. Not I'm over here pouring from an empty cup.
Yep.
Giving, you know, the bottom of that picture of to everybody that nobody wants. Yeah. You know, it's not helpful. It's not helpful for you. You get resentful, you know, all the things. So I would say there are ways of doing that won't feel like you are having to make a choice or a distinction between you and baby. For example, for me, I was like, I'm co-sleeping.
Yeah.
I have Hashimoto's. I am a freaking zombie. It is dangerous for me to be up and down and up and down. Truly. Yeah. I was scared several times. I'm like, I'm going to drop the baby. Like, this isn't good. So I made that decision to like find good resources on how to do it safely, on how they do it in other countries, on following these really great co-sleeping accounts. And that's what made sense for me and my family. Nursing, you know, until age 2, 3 for me has worked really well. And I respect everybody else's decision too.
Yeah.
So those are some things. If you're someone who's like, I can't nurse, I need to, great. Like, you do what you have to do because they want a healthy, happy, present mom and need that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's number one. Number two is just like some tactical stuff of like, can we meal prep? Can we take 20 to, I have on my blog, if you guys want it, my 20-minute meal prep that I do without fail. It's just ground meat, shredded veggies. I could do 2 skillets of it. I season it up different. That is a base meal for breakfast, for lunch, you know, all the things. The kids eat from it. It makes it so much easier. I'm getting my protein. I'm getting my fiber. I'm getting, you know, all the things. So there are just some smart little preparatory measures we can be taking that really don't take that long. I promise. You can even just be saying, and in that 20 minutes, I'm going to set up my supplements for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not a 3-hour meal prep. That is completely unreasonable. I don't enjoy that. You know, I just want something that's short and will set me up. So that's the other thing. So it's like our sleep and our nourishment are getting taken care of. And then we're being present and we're trusting that even if you're sleep deprived or, you know, it's just a lot, you don't have a lot of help. There's no village, you know, all the things that we go through. It's temporary.
Yeah.
And I often will just remind myself I was made to do this and this is temporary and I just keep going.
Oh, I love that. These are such good tips. I'm definitely going to check out your 20-minute food prep. I actually sounds like a super posh thing to do, but we just hired a new nanny, but I never look for nannies. I look for nannies who can cook for me.
Amazing.
Oh, it's a part of the, she's amazing. My Melissa is her name. And, she is awesome. And I had a similar experience in our old, when we lived in California. We live in Idaho now. And I know not everybody can do that. But if you are going to be paying for childcare, or you are going to be bringing somebody in, you know, maybe I think a lot of people don't even think they can ask that, you know, or try to find someone who can also help with food, because it's such a big thing if you are a person who does work, you know, and can't be there. Even if you can be there all the time, it's so much work. So
whatever help you can get, please take it.
Yeah, because we're meant to live, you know, in community. And we were never meant to do this alone. And women, I think, are told and the image is portrayed to us that we need to do all these things and have this perfect house and our happy kids and our perfect health and all these meals. And it's like, practically, you can't do it all. And we are meant to have help, and not everybody has, you know, family, or even if you had family near, it's not like they're your free, you know, everything. So I think that's another thing, to just give people permission to get help if they can afford it, or even if they have, if they co-share, like not co-share, but another idea is we did a postpartum meal prep, like soup party when I was pregnant. I love that. And so all my friends got together, they made their own soup and brought it in their Instant Pot. Almost everyone made it in Instant Pot. And we all sampled everybody's soups. It was a fun little get together, which is so beautiful as a community as medicine. And then I got to freeze all the soup and I had a full freezer. And I know that we did that for postpartum, but you could theoretically like rotate every month. Absolutely. And have a monthly get together with your friends where every person's like gets to be the center of receiving, or, you know, you take on half or whatever. Like, there's ways that you can get creative if you just feel really overwhelmed with food. And I love that. I'm totally going to check out your meal prep thing. That sounds great.
I love that. And you just hit on another huge thing, which is community. And we don't heal in isolation. That's something that I try to tell my clients a lot, because we do, we're super women, right? Like, we take it all on, and I've got all, it's all got to be on. And it's like, why? Let's stop wearing that as a badge of honor right now.
Yeah.
I had to have that beat into me the hard way. So it's like, you could go that hard way, or you could go, you could just kind of like collapse time and take the lesson right now and get uncomfortable with accepting or receiving, and until it becomes a little more comfortable. I love that so much. And even if you're someone that it's like, maybe like for us, right, we have a lot of friends or colleagues that are health and wellness focused, but if you want to join an online situation or make friends on social, you know, whatever you have to do, I love that idea. So great. Yeah,
that's so great. So a couple more questions. With the gut health, I know you kind of alluded to the fact that you do check GI Map. I use GI Map and GIFX. I don't know if you've ever used GIFX, but they're two great tests. And then do you do a lot of rebalancing the microbiome? Do you find that that's a big part of the imbalance with autoimmunity? And can you just speak to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So what's nice is when we're already starting with those terrain changes, I almost feel like when I see the GI map, it's like, okay, this is what's left.
Yeah.
We update, you know, like we made the shifts, and I know, okay, maybe 6 weeks isn't a terribly long time, but it makes a big splash. People just start to feel immediately better. And so then it's really like, what are we left with? Oh, a sneaky H. pylori infection that won't go away. Great. Let's kill this. And so we know, for example, with that, we need to work on stomach acid. We need to make sure that's all online and working. We want to make sure your partner doesn't have it. We want to make sure, you know, just like all these little hygiene kind of things. And then for sure, what I love to do once these things are more under control, right? Like we're getting the infections or the imbalances more under control. And I was even going to ask you if you've tried this for you, especially with your dairy intolerance, because I know it made a big difference for me.
Yeah, I'd love to know anything.
Yeah, colostrum and or immunoglobulins. Because if you can't handle colostrum, I love like Mega IgG 2000. We love using on the tail end for at least a month, maybe up to 90 days with someone. And that can really help with food sensitivities too.
Yeah, I have with patients in the past. I've never done it myself. And maybe I'll talk to you offline about this because it's hard to treat yourself. I feel like I'm really bad at treating myself.
And you're looking in your head and you got bottles everywhere. You're like,
I know. And I'm like, there's a thousand other things I should be trying. Yeah. Like SBI Protect is something I've used a lot as well. But it's like until pregnancy, because I had to have antibiotics for our fertility treatments, which is a whole long story. And it makes me so sad. And then I've had two C-sections, which I didn't want, you know, it's like, and I was like that, where I was busy with my baby, my first baby, and I just didn't. I worked on my health to prepare for my second, but with our fertility struggles, it was just something that, I don't know, there was just a lot of things that I had to undo, you know, having to take hormones because we had to do IVF. I don't know if you knew that, but that's just like, wasn't the way that I wanted to get pregnant, and it just affected my body in a lot of different ways. So I'm excited now that I'm postpartum, I'm 5 months, to really start prioritizing myself. There's certain things I can't do, you know, breastfeeding, but I'm a little bit more lenient with herbs and things like that.
Me too.
In postpartum.
I'm like, the baby seems fine, so we're going.
I know. I'm like, it's okay. Yeah. So, but this is what I wanted to follow up leading into this question is about our kiddos. So I have autoimmunity in my family. Mm. I have done a pretty good job thus far. I'm about to run my labs. To make sure that nothing has triggered, but my family has more Graves' disease, so hyperthyroid, not hypo. But my other people in my family have had hypothyroid, and so it's something I've always tracked, and I've never had a trigger, I think, that's triggered me in that way, but I know pregnancy can be that. But now I look at my kids who are both born C-section, and we just know, you know, it's not like a great start to their gut health. And my son now has had to be on two rounds of antibiotics, which is it's like so sad. I know too much, and I'm just like, my whole life is crashing down.
We suffer for it so much. I know.
So just like, what about prevention and with your kiddos of these women, you know, who maybe know that they have an autoimmune disease, because we know sometimes it can run in families, but we can do things to prevent it. Like, are there any recommendations that you have, for preventing your kiddos having a similar experience moving forward. And then to follow up with that, my last question is just like misconceptions about having kids and managing an autoimmune condition yourself. So just like getting into the kid world. We've done fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and now we can talk about the kids.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Yeah, that's such a great question. So what I have mostly done is think about the environment, right? There's that great saying that Chris Kresser always says about we've got the genetics loading the gun and then environment pulls the trigger. So I will say my firstborn, my daughter, is very sensitive like me. Whereas my son, who's two, he seems to be a little more like dad where he's like, whatever. Resilient. So I, in the beginning too, I kept her gluten-free in the beginning. I already started to notice she had eczema as a baby. She was, you know, just like all these little things that it's like, even though I was breastfeeding and trying to do all the things, I was noticing that. So I did. I've always played with like probiotics for them since pretty early on. Even though knowing like, okay, when we're breastfeeding, especially they are getting some really great microbiome, you know, starters and all these good things, but to support them because I was seeing issues, especially for her with the eczema. Fish oil. I was doing cod liver oil as early as she started eating. So I would do like butternut squash and drip the oil over it and put cinnamon and some ghee. Loved it. Oh my God. Just like ate it up. I'm like, awesome.
Yes.
So there were just some key things like that with food where I was like, I'm going to give them a much better start than me, who was like 80s, 90s food pyramid girl. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
that. I know.
Grains. Yeah. Grains. Enough, right? Sugar, cereals, right? Everything. My mom still to this day is like, I bet they'd sleep if you put cereal in their milk. And I'm like, stop it.
I love it.
Like, just stop it. So I kind of just like kept her away from all that and was like, veggies, fruit, you know, animal protein, the fish oil, like all those sort of things. Especially with the eczema, the fish oil made a huge difference. Using tallow-based lotions and things like that. So I'm sure you're doing all this too. And so it's just becoming this thing where we've got this bubble that we're in and we're like, what more can I do? But I really think when we're already being so serious about, like I said, we pour into ourselves first, right? So we know personal care products, we've done that overhaul.
Yep.
We're using good quality products. We're not bombarding our body with parabens and all this garbage and microplastics that we've kind of come up with. We're already doing that with the babies. We're doing some just key light supplements that we know can be supportive because our, you know, even our fruits and veggies are kind of devoid of nutrients at this point, and we just need a little bit of extra. I do like some liquid vitamin for them. I use Mary Roots because they like the flavor and it works. So let's go. Probiotics, like I said, and then the fish oil. So those are the biggest things. And then I would also say I really try to be mindful about like, we're getting outside. They're grounding. They're running around barefoot, even though I live in Long Island and there's definitely Lyme disease. Oh, I get a little, like, I'm just like, it's okay. I'm going to check them. Yep. They're not doing it a ton, but I just want them to get, you know, their feet out there. There's just like little things like that we know about it. So let's have fun with it together.
Yeah.
So I love doing that, getting them sunlight, vitamin D in the winter, you know, all these key things. Another really big thing I like to do for that is like really good, healthy sneakers and shoes for them. Yeah. Like, you know, that their, you know, toe beds can, you know, stretch out in. Cause
I'd love to know your favorite brands. Cause I'm in the market for some.
Oh
too.
Yes. Let's dish. I got all that stuff, whatever you need. But yeah, I just try to be more conscientious about it.
Yeah.
Any organic cotton that I can use on their clothes or just at least Ecotex, you know, you can literally go to Target. They use Ecotex.
Yeah. Which is so nice.
Yeah. It's nothing, you know, I'm not necessarily breaking the bank or anything. So there's just some key things like that I am looking at the environment and I'm trying to be mindful. Now, here's what I'll say. It gets dicey when they go to school.
I know.
To say that I have lost a lot of that control.
Yeah.
So my daughter's in kindergarten. She started in like a pre-K. She was home with us since then. That was tricky. So
yeah,
I did delayed vaccinations. And in New York, I mean, we give the max amount of all the vaccines.
Yeah.
And I did. I wanted to be very slow about it. I wanted to make sure if she was having any reactions or any weird things that I could just slow down and control that. I know not everyone can control this. If they you know, they're sending their kid to daycare or there's just different state requirements. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just went as slow as I could. We did one a month, especially for my daughter. I will say she had histamine reactions the first 3-4 months, just like crazy rashes, weird reactions to stuff. So I did, I just kept an eye on that. I did the very best I could with it. She is fine. Great. You know, she's healthy. She's in school. But yeah, it's just like trying to
just looking at all the triggers. I love that. Yeah.
Just, it's a write the bucket theory. We're just trying to lighten the load and then also prepare them, like teach her. So when we're at a birthday party and all the kids have red food dye on their face from the cake and she wants it, you know, of course. It's like, I'm not going to give her an eating disorder.
Yeah.
But I do also try to just educate her like, hey, how do you feel when you eat a lot of that cake?
Yeah.
Because I notice you're having 1 million temper tantrums ever since. How do you feel? You know, like,
how do you feel?
You know, do you feel really, you know, cranky and then really tired and grumpy? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I do. You know, so I just try to point it out, help her notice it and make sure the rest of the day she's eating really well.
I love that. Yeah, I think that that's kind of the approach of me and a lot of our friends, which I think is a really balanced approach because – yeah, there can be extremism in this space too. And I think in the autoimmune space, that can happen where you are so afraid of everything. And there's this help. I find this in the fertility space. There is this balance that you have to find between knowing what to do. Because if you don't know anything, you know, that's not great either. But then also not so obsessive where it becomes almost a disorder in itself. And that's dysregulating the nervous system. And it is a hard balance to find, I would say. Yeah. But it sounds like you do a really good job personally and also with your clients. And I love that approach. And I think the more that we can practice that and model that as well is so helpful. So to wrap up kind of, I don't know, I guess there's one more question we didn't answer, which is any misconceptions about having kids, you know, with an autoimmunity?
You know, I think we touched on it a bit because, for example, I was just really scared that in sleep deprivation, I was going to get really sick. Mm-hmm. I will say I have not slept well in 6 years, guys. And I'm running a business and I am supporting my house, my family of four. I have never been happier or healthier.
Yay.
And it's not this perfect goop 3-hour morning routine, the opposite. Yeah. You know, I am often stressed and frazzled and freaking out and crying sometimes. Mm-hmm. I am, you know, like it is not perfection over here. Motherhood has taught me what I need to learn.
Yeah.
And it continues to. Our kids teach us way more than we ever will. It is this like opportunity, more healing, more deeper dive into healing. I think I've told you guys, right? Like I'm a New Yorker. I'm this perfectionist type A. Like that's just kind of what I've always come from. That's part of the healing journey for me.
Yeah.
And I see it a lot with autoimmune. Type A for autoimmune. That's kind of like my joke is what I'll see a lot. And my kids have taught me that's like not real.
Yeah.
Perfectionism is this total construct. Embrace the mess. Like you said, right? Like we're taught to, like, we're supposed to keep a perfect house and do that. And it's like, I really had, the second pregnancy was so different for me. I really just came to this moment and I still come to it of like, embrace the fingerprints all over the windows embrace the mess. And yeah, I don't really have a real couch in my living room. I have like a toddler couch and like, that's perfect for us, you know?
Yes.
Right. And so I've come to this more, reasonable, fun. I'm still working on it, but it's teaching me what I need to know. And I think that is this invisible healing for me that makes up for some of the lack of sleep and, you know, all this perfection that I thought I needed.
Yeah.
I think when you are trying to be health conscious or take care of an autoimmune disease, you really think you need the 3-hour morning routine and the red light and the trampoline and the, you know, just like all these things. Love a good biohack. Love those things. That's fun. I don't have time for half of them.
Yeah.
And I'm healthier than ever. So I think it's just an important reminder. Our kids are actually bringing us the healing we need.
I love that.
Be with them. Let's be with them. Let's get on the floor and play with them. Like that's all the healing you need most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Is there any last minute words that you want to wrap up with and then tell people how they can get in touch with you?
This was such a great conversation. Thank you for having me, because I don't often get to talk enough about the motherhood experience. Yay. So I love it. No, I think we covered everything, but if not, please come connect with me. I'm over at Food by Mars on Instagram is where I hang out the most. I have a blog filled with free recipes, foodbymars.com, and all the freebies you could want, like that 20-minute meal prep. I've got an awesome ChatGPT bot that will plan your meals for you. My moms especially love it because it saves time. You can say what's in your fridge and it will make it for you. And to your point, give it to someone else to cook if you want. Yeah. And if you don't want to cook it, give it to someone else. Why not? So yeah, that's where you can find me and work with me. I've got my application on my site and I got you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. This was awesome. And yeah, I just think everyone's going to really benefit from all of your wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now and it starts with you.